Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here comes the one-timer, scores! The hat-trick goal! All power play markers for Patrick Laine. With 9:05 remaining here in the second period.
Patrick Laine had a night. Three goals, hat-trick. All three on the power play. That one was his third of the night. And it's our goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. We welcome you here into the postgame. Brian Colziel with you after a disastrous night for the Sabres in Bell Center in Montreal. The Sabres gave up a goal 19 seconds into the game and never sniffed being anywhere close to this game the rest of the way. Laine scored on the power play at 6:26. Cousins cut it to 2-1 early second, but then Slafkovský scored. Laine two more times. Anderson, it was 6-1 after two, and of course, just kind of playing out the string in the third. The Sabres did have a 5-on-3 to start the third period, but couldn't score. And Buffalo now has not won in 11 consecutive games. They are 0-8-3 in this stretch, and if you think the mood at KeyBank Center has been bad, wait till Friday when there's 16,000 Leaf fans in attendance. Yes, the next game is a Toronto game at home. That'll be Friday at 7 o'clock with the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6. Whew. I mean, tonight, just the Colorado game this year, to me, still will be the low. You blow a 4-0 first period lead and lose in regulation. The first time ever in franchise history you lose a 4-goal lead at home. That to me is the worst. Like I don't think you can draw one up any worse than that. I mean, I guess you could blow a 5-goal lead at home, but at this moment, that to me still is the worst one. Paul Hamilton said it was the worst loss in home history of over 50 plus years of franchise history. And he said that night, I remember him saying, you know, you wonder if a game like this, like, does it sink your season? And they have not won since. They didn't win before that, but I keep going back. If you've been listening to the postgame show regularly, by the way, I appreciate you doing so. November 23rd, that wasn't that long ago. We were sitting here. I was probably sitting here like 1 in the morning after a San Jose win. I know that was a 9 p.m. game here Eastern. So maybe like midnight, sitting here saying how excited that we were that this team had just swept the California trip. And they were doing it without some players even in the lineup. And there was some wins without Tage Thompson and some wins without Jordan Greenway. And They weren't even getting, like, the best Ukko Pekka Luukkonen yet. He's getting better. And you were 3 points out of first. They were third in the Atlantic and 3 points out of first. Fast forward less than a month later here, 3 weeks and a couple of days, December 17th, and they're in dead last in the East. Montreal has passed them tonight. The Canadiens are not a good hockey team, but they're better than the Sabres. And tonight they've got a guy that can score in Patrick Laine. The Sabres' defensive coverage was awful. Obviously, some of these were 5-on-3s, but the barrage of going to the box has been an issue essentially since the first games of the year in Prague, and they haven't stopped really since. The power play still is not good. Their defensive zone awareness is still awful. Their coverage is awful. And they cannot find any consistent scoring, even from the guys that we know maybe have some ability to do so. And, you know, it adds up to a team being now in dead last in the Eastern Conference on December 17th, 3.5 weeks ago from being a game and a half out of first. I mean, it has just totally flipped. And tonight, to me, not only is it Montreal who stinks, who they were in last all year in the East, who now have passed you, but there's the other layer of the fact that the owner was on site, was in the building, was in to see the team yesterday, had a vote of confidence for all these players, had a vote of confidence for his general manager, had a vote of confidence for his head coach, said, hey, the solution's in the room. I've got confidence in you. I've got faith in you. I support you. All that stuff. Paul Hamilton said they came out good for practice. All right, let's hear from the players. We'll more on this in a moment. Alex Tuck live with Paul.
Alex, it was 2-0. You've been outshot 9-0. What was the problem in the beginning?
They came out with a lot more energy than we did. Came out flat-footed. For some reason, no spark in our game, and it showed. And they came out with a purpose and took it to us.
Alex, has the Colorado game ruined this team for the season?
No. Season's not over. I just know that personally I need to be better. You can't pinpoint it on one game or one play or anything. I just know that I need to be better. Tomorrow, I wasn't good enough today. That's all it takes. You have to look at yourself in the mirror and realize that you haven't been good enough. And that your team needs you more than ever.
The owner talked to the team yesterday, and this morning everybody was pretty positive about what went on here. Why do you think there was just no response to that at all?
Like I said, I think we just had a tough first couple shifts, and they were able to capitalize, and it can be deflating, and we didn't have enough battle back. So it was nothing about yesterday, anything like that. It's just the onus is on us, and we weren't good enough at the start, and they took advantage.
Given the way the season started, 20-25 games, you were in a playoff spot 3 weeks ago. I mean, you're last in the East now. Is that almost unbelievable to think of?
Yeah, it sure does suck, doesn't it? It's horrible, but like I said, the season's not over. We're going to come back and be better tomorrow, and like I said, I wasn't good enough today, so I know that I need to be better.
Penalties are a thing that penalties are something that we've talked about a lot and still happening. How can you guys get better when it comes to taking penalties?
Yeah, we just have to. I can't take that high sticking penalty, and I don't know. You call it some bad luck on some penalties, some bad reads in some penalties, whatever it was. It was just you can't do that. We got to stay out of the box, especially when you got power play that's playing as well as they are lately. We can't give them any opportunities to expand on their lead.
Are guys just sitting in this room waiting for changes to be made?
No.
It's 11 games in a row. Usually something happens.
Yeah, I think the change has to fall on our shoulders individually and as a team. The change has to come in this room. No matter what happens, still has to come from in this room. That's it. No one else's. It has no one else's responsibility but our own. And my own.
Sounds right. Alex Tuck on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Alex Tuck there. Alex Tuck's a player to me that I still find very likable. I have for the majority of his time with the Sabres. I give kudos for him for talking after this game. I know some of these players will dodge wanting to talk to the media after this, so I want to give him credit for that. Not going to give him credit for what he did on the ice tonight. He was right there with the rest of them playing poorly. Back to the room. Ryan McLeod is up next live with Paul.
Where was the spark from the club in that opening few minutes?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought we were working with a little bit more juice, and you know, kind of just came and fell flat.
It just seemed like it was 2-0. The shots were 9-0. You guys were turning the puck over a lot. You were involved in that. A lot of players were involved in that. I'm not just blaming you at all, but a lot of players were involved in that. It just seemed like you guys couldn't even come close to your game, could you?
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. We didn't get to our game at all, and that's what happens, you don't do it.
3 weeks ago, you guys were in a playoff spot, and now you're last in the East after this game. I mean, what has happened to this team since the Colorado game, basically?
I'm not too sure, but, you know, I think, as a man, we got to look at ourselves in the mirror and regroup. I think there's still lots of season left, and, I think we're still not that far out of it, so just got to find a way to get a win next game.
Do you expect some changes? I mean, do you expect something to happen here in the coming days?
No.
Brian, penalties, we've talked about them so many times, and that's the one area you guys just don't seem to get better at. You guys keep taking penalties, and many of these games they've killed you. How can you guys get better at that with not taking so many penalties and putting yourself behind the eight ball?
Definitely something we want to clean up. It's tough. Power plays are good in this league, and they're going to sting you. That's something we talk about, and just about doing it now.
Right. Where are you emotionally? 6 months ago, you were playing for the Stanley Cup.
Obviously frustrated right now, but I think a lot of us in this room, we know how good we could be when we're at our best, and just a matter of, as a man, getting back to our best and start playing the right way. I think we've been just kind of getting away with it for the last 11 so games, and it's showing.
Guys,
your Oilers team got in a hole early last season. What helped you guys turn that around?
Just simplifying our game. I think as a team, we decided we were gonna start really simple and just put pucks in deep, and then allow ourselves to get to our game. And I think that's something we can take a page out of and start doing that here.
Talking to the
early goal, with the state of mind that the team is in right now in a streak like this.
It doesn't help, but I think we've been down in games, we came back and win. It's it shouldn't be the end of our game. I think we're just gonna piling mistakes on mistakes and just not really helping ourselves right now.
Talking to the guys today, it just seemed like yesterday was a positive day. It seemed like you guys were positive with what went on, with the talks and everything. Does it make it even more shocking the way you guys came out, considering you all this morning, you all felt it looked like you guys were in good spirits and positive that things were gonna move?
I think everyone had good energy. It's it's tough though. We got to go out there, first skip, get a tough bounce with the ref, and he goes in the back of our net. Our group, we just don't have the legs right now to give up an early goal or something like that. So it's tough when you're in deep to we should start playing a little bit simpler and kind of get into the game and then go from there.
When we got in the room, there were like 12, 13 players sitting by their stalls. Is this something the players decide among themselves? Is it Lindy that just asked all the guys to be there accountable for that?
When is that?
When we came in, there were like, 12, 13 guys.
I'm not sure. I think they're just getting unchanged though.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan McLeod on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, McLeod. I mean, what a difference for him. You heard Mike Harrington ask the question about, 6 months ago, he's playing for the Stanley Cup. He's in a Game 7 with his Oiler team in Florida. And now he's here on the worst team in the Eastern Conference, who have lost 11 straight games. I mean, what a change of events for him. And, I'm sure he was fully aware that he was going to a team that wasn't as talented as Edmonton. But I doubt that he had visions of how this was going to play out. And, I'm sure, as we've talked about with free agency and trades and players having their no trade clauses and all that sort of stuff, that players talk. And, you're going to Buffalo, huh? You wonder off the record what really his Oiler teammates were saying to him when he got traded and said, you're going to Buffalo. And it's probably something that, we probably could all guess what some of them are saying. Kevin Adams has said, we have deals, but there's players that have no trade clauses, and this is this endless cycle. It is literally like, you're burying yourself here. How do you get players to want to come here? Well, you need to be a winning organization. You need to have ownership that's committed to winning. You need to have Let's go back to the room more in Montreal. Here's now Connor Clifton live.
Connor, a start like that, you're outscored 2-0, you're outshot 9-0. It just seemed like nothing at all was going for you. You guys were turning the puck over, everything. What happened?
I think you nailed it. Outcompeted, lost battles, got away from us. Not good on the PK. Terrible start.
You know, this morning people were in a pretty good frame of mind, it seemed, talking a lot of positive things about what happened yesterday. Why do you think you guys didn't seem to take anything from that?
I don't know, really. Just no legs, no jump, no energy. Yeah, you think, obviously, with the meeting yesterday, the 10-game losing streak, at least we have it. Legs and energy. No. We didn't chase in the whole game.
Does there need to be just, you know, some professional pride in this room at this point? I mean, you were in a playoff spot 3 weeks ago, and you're in last place in the East now.
Yeah. Yeah, pride. Got to look in the mirror. We expect better. And it starts from within right now. You know, I think we're looking around and we're waiting for someone else to do something and make something happen. And, you know, obviously we're in it right now. Got to find our way out of it. Yeah, it's been a tough couple weeks for us. Obviously 11 in a row now. So, yeah, we got to I don't know really, but obviously.
Do you think guys are sitting around waiting for big change to come here? Somebody come to
us? I mean,
room,
I don't. We think it's in the room, and you know, we obviously got embarrassed tonight. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, you know, look forward and put that one past us. And when we have a big meeting yesterday and 10 in a row, like, I don't know right now.
The kind of meeting the team had yesterday, it's not a type of meeting you can have every month during a season or so. What's next when something like that doesn't work? You know, what do you see as what's next?
I think, you know, we talk about how it's in this room, and that's what we believe. We just need more from each and every guy. More, every part of our game right now needs more. We're just not playing together. We're all over the place. We're, you know, one mistake happens, it's in the back of our net. It can't be like that. Mistakes are going to happen. You got to bail someone out. Big block, big save. Next guy closes and takes away whatever, you know. And that's just, it's snowballing right now. And that's how it is right now. One mistake, it's in the back of our net. So we got to, right, we got to be more prideful, and we got to, you know, except we're in a challenge right now. We're in a battle. Now we're 6 games back from 500. And there's always ups and downs in the year, and this is pretty far down right now for us. And like I said, we expect better, and we got to be better.
The mental side of the game, I mean, the whole arena knows where Patrick Laine is on the ice on the power play, and he was just standing there firing away. I mean, is that symptomatic of just you guys not playing?
Yeah, I mean, I was on for a couple breakdowns. I think I should have been on them both times. And, you know, obviously a shooter like that can't be winding up from the top of the circle inside the dot. So, yeah. Yeah, I think that just goes into how our game is right now. It's not good.
Thanks, Connor.
Thank you.
Connor Clifton on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
We'll have Lindy at the...
All right, Paul Hamilton there with our blue and gold locker report. At least it sounded like kind of back in the day, before I was hosting this, which is now on 17 seasons, I remember being in the room with Paul, and after a bad loss, Chris Drury, Vanny Barriere, they'd have the whole team sitting there at the stalls waiting for the media to come in and talk. And you heard right there, they said all, you know, 13 guys are sitting there waiting to talk. You know, I don't know if that was on purpose or random coincidence, but, you know, for Clifton, for Tuck, for McLeod, I mean, it's not easy to do. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be accountable. They absolutely should be, but I don't know what they should be saying at this point, because Clifton letting a little bit on there right here. He says, quote, "I think we're all standing around waiting for someone else to do something or make something happen." And then the follow-up is, "Hey, are you expecting a trade here to come at some point?" And then he kind of went away from it, but I think they are. They're definitely waiting for something to happen. Lindy Ruff the other night after the game in Toronto said, "I'm at a loss for words." He said, this might be the hardest solve that he's ever had as a coach. I mean, there's your head coach saying he doesn't know what to say. I mean, Don Granato in year three didn't know what to say. It took Lindy Ruff 31 games to not know what to say. Now, Lindy knew what he was signing up for. He knew this team had issues. He knew from saying that he had watched all these games. He knew kind of what was the problem with this team. But he probably figured, look, I'm going to get these guys to be accountable. I'm going to get these guys to play hard. I'm going to fix this power play. I'm going to fix these guys having lack of awareness in their own end. I'm going to get these guys to be around the net. And at times he has solved it, but no, I shouldn't say has solved it. It has shown signs of improvement, but then it goes back. And then after the game, hey, how come you guys weren't around the net? How come you guys were not aware in your own zone? You know, and here's Connor Clifton right there. Yeah, I missed him twice. I don't know. Like, you got to think Lindy Ruff is sitting here saying, what did I sign up for? Now, publicly, he's never going to say that, but I wouldn't blame him at all if that's what he's thinking to himself as he's, you know, on the plane ride home today or as he's had drives home from KeyBank Center after game saying, what did I sign up for? I'm one of the winningest coaches ever in the NHL. I had a playing career, a coaching career. I could be sitting on a beach somewhere with a cocktail. Instead, whether he got talked into or whether he wanted one last crack at it here in Buffalo, he's here. He's got to be sitting there saying, what did I sign up for? These guys just don't listen. These guys don't have any consistency. These guys at times don't come ready to play. Sometimes this year, I think actually they've been better starting games. But man, they have been so poor in terms of how they handle leads, how many leads they've blown. I mean, tonight, obviously, you know, it was over 6:26 into the game. It was 2-0 already. Could have been 3. They took a goal off the board, but they hit 2 posts in between that stint. Lukanen tonight, just no chance on anything because there's 5-on-3 and more. All right, Lindy Ruff, live in Montreal.
Lindy, it's 2-0. You're being outshot 9-0. You're turning the puck over. You're taking penalties. I mean, just all the things that you've talked about. How did you start that way?
Yeah, you know, it started with, a poor puck play, you know, inside the offensive zone where we didn't get it deep. And then, you know, it goes off a referee skate. And you know, I think when you don't execute up ice, bad stuff can happen. And it happened on the first goal. Our puck play, again, early in the game, it really hurt us. They pressed hard, but we could have made better plays.
You were running around so much in that first 10 minutes, it just seemed like the panic set in again. I mean, how surprised were you that you just couldn't get it back?
I just thought, you know, it was that first goal just bothered us too much. Then it was, we're going to race here, race there. I thought we settled down at about the 10-minute mark finally. We got organized. We started to look like a team. I thought that last 10 minutes, the start of the second, I really think the turning point, we made it 2-1. The turning point was the non-call when Bo goes to the net in a game where they were calling everything, and he goes to the net and gets dumped, and there's no call, which would have gave us, we just scored a goal, gave us some momentum. Now they get a couple calls, and it's the back of our net.
This team seemed energized this morning by Terry's visit. Are you surprised they couldn't just parlay that into more?
You know, that is a tough question because, you know, what happened in the first minute, I think, hurt our team. We started that fourth line to get the puck in deep and try to create some energy right off the bat. And, you know, you get a tough break going the other way. And all of a sudden, we gave them energy. And I think that fueled them right off the bat, which didn't allow us really get into our game.
We talked about the mental side of the game. The penalty problems happened again. But the whole building knows where Line A is shooting and what he's doing over there. And how does he that alone?
A couple individual just hyper. If you look at the first one, we had everybody. That was our D's guy to cover him, and he raced to the other side. That's what we went over in our penalty killing meeting. Thanks.
Lindy Ruff on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, Lindy Ruff, his press conference brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. 6-1 Montreal. The Sabres have not won in 11 in a row. 0-8-3 in that stretch. And the scene on Friday will be another one that, could be uncomfortable. Toronto is in KeyBank Center Friday night, 7 o'clock with the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6. All right, let's go back to Bell Center and get some thoughts from Paul Hamilton. Paul, all the players, Lindy Ruff, said that start to the game, even though they came in with a good mindset, they came in with good vibes, that first goal really rattled them.
Yeah, well, what I understand that, but what Lindy Ruff failed to talk about was the turnover by Obe Cabell right at the blue line, right away. And that started that rush. And, you know, they don't score on the original play, but goes off the back wall, goes off the referee, right to Armia, who's wide open with an empty net. And there you go. But the turnover started the whole thing. You know, you started that line for energy, and he comes up to the blue line, tries to force it in, and turns it over, and back they come, and that's why you were looking at a breakaway. Well, they don't score on the breakaway, but, you know, they got a bad break there. Whatever. You come into the second period. It looks like you're playing well. It's all right. It took them a period, but they got to their game. And they got to their game, scored a goal fairly early, what, about 3.5 minutes or so into the period. And now it's 2-1. Now you can say, okay, we're okay here. We had a horrible period, maybe our worst period of the year, but we just scored a goal. We've been playing well for the first 3 minutes of the period, and it turned into a goal for you. So build on it. Build on that. And go get another goal and tie the game. There's plenty of time in the hockey game. But what do? They take penalties and take penalties and take penalties. And Lindy Ruff wants to talk about a penalty not called on him. Fine. It's a 6-1 game. Really?
Yeah.
Really? We're going to talk about that? You deserved. I'm trying to think if there was a penalty that they took they didn't deserve. And Lindy Ruff cannot get them out of that. Even when they're playing well, they're taking penalties. They just cannot stop taking penalties. And it kills them. And I'm sitting there. I think Lindy Ruff was as amazed as we are. How is Laine standing? That's the last guy you want standing there. Why don't you just leave Ovechkin open, too, when you play him? I mean, that's the last guy you want standing there. And there he is. Rips three of them from there. And it looked like practice. I mean, he was just, it was like somebody was setting him up for shots in practice. You know how they set up $100 and set him over and let him one-time him? That's what it looked like. That they were just sitting in practice and just ripping shots. I mean, Kevin Adams has had this team for over 4 years. 4 years and 32 games?
Yes.
That he's had this team. He has led them to last place in the Eastern Conference. I don't care what anybody says. I'm sorry if you're mad at me. They are the worst team in the Eastern Conference. Not the Montreal Canadiens, not the Columbus Blue Jackets, not the Detroit Red Wings, the Buffalo Sabres. And they are there on merit, not on a fluke. They are there on merit. He has built the worst team in the Eastern Conference. But that's okay with the owner. He's fine with that because he believes in what they're doing. I don't understand. I don't get it. But he believes in it, and he's the one that makes those types of decisions. So I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't want to know why everybody's getting a vote of confidence because they're the worst team in the Eastern Conference. But I guess that's okay with the general manager, and I guess that's okay with the owner because it just seems like they came here okay with it.
Paul Connor Clifton, I want to read one of his quotes here. He says, quote, I think we're all just standing here maybe waiting for someone else to do something or make something happen. And then I know Mike followed up with, does that mean you guys are like waiting for a big shakeup here? And then he kind of deflected it a little there, but.
Yeah, I understand. About, they're not going to sit there.
Is he talking about on the ice? Is he talking about on the ice? Yeah, or is he talking about off the ice here?
They're not going to sit there and tell us they're waiting for Kevin Adams to make a trade to get them out of this. But you just watch their play. Just watch what you've seen on the ice. They're waiting for Kevin Adams to make a move. It's so obvious. I mean, because they're not going to get themselves out of this. They're just not. They're not a good enough team to do it. He has put together a soft-minded team that has probably some good hockey players on it, but are mentally soft. They've been mentally soft for over 2 years now. But nobody wants to come to that conclusion that matters. Instead, they're like, we believe in them. We're gonna let them get out of it. Good luck with that.
Yeah, the message, Paul, from Terry Pegula yesterday, and then him obviously maybe seeing this one in person today. I cannot believe, regardless of what people think of how Terry might be able to, understand what it takes to build a winning organization. I can't believe that he would sit there and watch this and say, yep, we got the right guys. We got the right guy running the show. We got the right people on the ice. Like, I cannot believe that he would sit there after watching this tonight and think that. And I know that he just said that, but, like, I mean, for him to, if you know, not do anything here for the next few weeks? Like, that's my prediction. He's not going to do anything. And I think that's what...
there are other media people here that are convinced trades are going to be made tomorrow. I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
I'll be shocked if it's just not another day off and we show up at practice on Thursday. Absolutely shocked.
I don't think there's going to be a coaching move. Would you agree with that?
I don't think there's going to be any move. At all. Anywhere. Trades, firings, anything. Because they were told just yesterday this is good enough.
Paul, what's Friday going to be like with 17,000 Leafs fans in the building?
Oh, come on. That's a little high. Don't you think it'll be around 16,000? Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. About 90% Leaf fans are coming. But they know that. Yeah. Even if the Sabres are winning, probably it'd be close to that. But until this stops and they become a good team, people are going to give their or sell their tickets to Leaf fans. And you are going to have that mess in the arena that is it becomes a Leaf home game. And it makes the players angry. But you know what? You don't want Leaf fans in your building? Go win some games. Go make the playoffs. Go become a good team. Go play the way you're capable of playing. Go play the way that we've seen a couple of times this year. Go play that way and become a good team, and then the Leaf fans won't be in your building.
Paul, I appreciate all your work tonight. Just want to just confirm one more thing before I let you go here. So there's not an official practice tomorrow. Is that correct?
Right. And Darlene will be back on the ice, and he is shooting for Friday. He says that's the plan. As long as Thursday's full practice goes well and he keeps feeling well like he feels now, he said the plan is for him to return on Friday.
And if you have 30 more seconds, obviously we're seeing during this stretch here that even Darlene banged up and not 100% still is extremely valuable to this team, Paul.
He is, but it's not 11 losses just because he's not there. You know, I'll keep saying it. I think I've said it a couple of times tonight, and I'll just keep saying it. I mean, they lost their souls against Colorado.
Colorado.
That to me, in my opinion, ended their season. They haven't recovered, and I don't think they will. If yesterday you get a vote of confidence from your owner and your general manager, and they tell you, don't expect a trade, we believe in you guys. It's you guys, and we believe in you. And how did you repay that? With that start? The worst start of the year? No compete? Nothing. There was nothing there whatsoever. I think they were probably lucky they were only down 2-0. And
well, that's
you play
the thing.
A period like that, after what was sounded like what they felt was a positive day yesterday. And I could tell you, you know, walking in the room, it seemed different this morning. They seemed up. And they seem like, I'm thinking, okay, they seem up. Maybe they're ready to do something and play better and come out against a team that, well, is better than them, but not by much. And if you go out and play your game, you have an excellent chance to get a win. And you played your worst game of the year as far as the first period, probably most of it. So what sounded like a positive day, that was the way you thanked the people who came in and said they believed in you.
Yeah, I think that is that's a major issue on the players, Paul. I mean, for as much as fans may want to think that Terry Pegula has no idea what he's thinking to give Kevin Adams a vote of confidence or to give these players a vote of confidence, and I'll agree with that group, with that statement. The fact that he publicly said that, and then this is the pride factor that I think McLeod or Clifton may have used the word pride, and then he's Clifton said we were outcompeted, lost battles, terrible start.
I don't want to confuse fans here. He didn't publicly say it. He has not spoken publicly about the Buffalo Sabres since 2020. So nobody said it publicly. But he said it behind closed doors to his team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean I would be super insulted by that fact as well if I'm sitting there thinking, hey, these like you are I think for what the message that we're here, fine, I won't say publicly, the message that Terry Pegula supposedly gave, I think is a wrong message to give. However, I think what you're saying is also correct. If that's the message you get as a player, and your owner and your is giving you a vote of confidence, and then you come out, and I'll quote Clifton here, outcompeted, lost battles, not good on the power play, terrible start, like, that's just as much on them as it is on the owner and the GM.
No, it absolutely is, you know, on them, and it's just, you know, I kind of do get it. I just know how they are. You know, they're mentally soft, and they were shaken to the bone by that Colorado loss, and they lost their captain on the same game. And it was 4-1 when they lost their captain. They were in the lead. I think they were shaken to the bone, and when you have mentally fragile people who get shaken, I don't know if there's a way back for them. And that's the thing. And people say, well, you know, they'll trade some guys and they'll turn into great players somewhere else. Well, they might. Because this group as a group doesn't work. Because as a group, they're mentally fragile. Now, if somebody goes somewhere else to play and you have a bunch of strong-minded people, well, then you're with a bunch of small, strong-minded people, and you probably play better. And, you know, that's what that's about. But when you're around this is toxic. I mean, read your Twitter. This is toxic. I mean, and look at the games coming up. They're not going to be too many people in the building. And if that's okay with Terry Pegula, that's fine. I'm not going to tell him how to feel about if people come or if they don't, or if he makes money or if he doesn't, or the whole thing. That's his business. It's not my business. But, you know, and don't forget, too, they groomed Kevin Adams to be the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. He did, like, every – he was an assistant coach. He was in player development. He went over to Harbor Center on the business side of things and ran that program for many years. And then he came over to the Sabres, and they put him in the front office to learn that part of the business. And then in Jason Botterill's last year, he went on a couple of road trips and took down some notes on, you know, what he is seeing. It was all, you know, they ID'd him very early in their ownership that he will eventually be the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. They felt they could groom him to do that. They don't understand. Well, no, I won't say it that way. I think they understand what experience is, but experience costs money. You might pay triple for an experienced, really good GM, or quadruple than what you might pay Kevin Adams to come in, as you groomed him to come all the way up the organization. And they felt if he knows all aspects of the operation, that he'd be ready to become a general manager in the NHL. Well, they were wrong, because results say it. Four years and 32 games, he has led them to last place in the Eastern Conference, not a playoff spot. And he would sit here and stomp his feet in front of me and say, look, at the season's not over. There's still plenty of games to make the playoffs, and we're not that far behind. So how can you say that? I can say it because that's what it's been. And might it change? I suppose it could. I have no crystal ball. I have no confidence whatsoever that any of this is going to change right now with this group, with this GM, with just the way it's all set up. If it does, I'll be the first one to go on the air and admit I was wrong. I'm a big enough man, I can admit when I'm wrong. But I've just seen nothing that tells me that this is going to change. And that, to me, it's such a bottom line shock that he has led the team to last place in the Eastern Conference after being the general manager for almost 4.5 years.
Paul, really appreciate your thoughts and perspective tonight and all the work in the locker room with the interviews. Have a safe trip back from Montreal, and I'll see you Friday for the Sabres and the Maple Leafs.
We will see you there. Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton from Bell Center, where the Sabres fall 6-1. Gave up a goal 19 seconds into the game. Another one on the power play at 6:26. And there was one glimmer of hope when Cousins scored at 3:43 of the second, but then Slafkovský scores at 5:54, then Laine on back-to-back power plays, a couple of back-to-back five-on-threes. Just an awful moment there in the second period when the Sabres just went to the box. Tuck at 9:30, Cousins at 10:11, Byram at 8:02 before that, where he just took a hard slash. Yeah, three penalties in a row there in just over 2 minutes. And that clearly cleared out the game right there at that point as it pushed it to a 5-1 final. Anderson late in the second made it 6-1, and that's how it ended. A 6-1 Montreal victory. The Sabres 0-8-3 in their last 11 games. And now the standings. If everybody refreshes your standings, wherever you're getting it on your app or your computer, you will now see that there's not even a tiebreaker needed. The Sabres are officially in dead last. On November 23rd, after the San Jose game, I was sitting here on the post game, probably right around midnight after that 9 p.m. game out there, and probably you could hear a different tone in my voice of how excited that we could actually talk about games that are meaningful and that matter and that maybe this team is going to be breaking this long playoff drought. Instead here, just, what, 3.5 weeks later, they were 3 out of 1st in the Atlantic. They were in 3rd. They were a point behind Florida. They were 3 behind Toronto, sitting in 3rd place in the Eastern Conference. And now they are in dead last in the East. Only 2 teams worse than the entire NHL, Chicago and Nashville, points percentage-wise. Sabres are 11-17-4, 0-8-3 in their last 11, and are sitting in last. Montreal has now passed. For all of you that think maybe there's still a lot of season to go, there's 50 games to go. So either strap in for a 50-game stretch of misery here again to add to the previous 13 seasons, or maybe something will be done. I agree with Paul. I don't think anything will be done here over the next few days. There is a day off tomorrow in terms of practice, so the team won't necessarily speak. Maybe there will be a move made. Shock me. Shock all of us. But likely it'll be the same group against Toronto on Friday. And the Leafs, who are number one in the Atlantic Division, have 40 points. And the Sabres have 26. But there is 50 games left. I wouldn't say it's mathematically impossible, even though, you know, clearly the season feels like it's over at this moment, 32 games in. They are 7 points back of the final team in the playoffs as of this moment. That is Pittsburgh. And the East is so gettable this year. It's bad. Pittsburgh is 500. 14-14-5. Exactly a 500 points percentage. That's all you had to be. Literally, you could just be on pace for an 82-point season right now, which we know is nowhere near the playoffs in previous years. When the Sabres missed it a couple of seasons ago by a point, they had 91. Usually it's somewhere in that mid to low 90s range. I know once in a while maybe it's upper 90s. Literally right now, if you're on an 82-point pace, you would be in a playoff spot. That's all you would need. You don't even have to be that good. And yet they are 11-17-4 and in dead last. And no signs of it turning around. I mean, this was the year. This was the year. I'm saying was as if it's over. It feels over. There's 50 games left. I know I have to keep reminding myself that. There's 50 games left. But, man, it feels over already. Maybe it felt over after the Colorado game, like Paul said. That night on postgame, he said it. He's like, this could shake them for the rest of the season. He called it the worst loss in franchise home history. And maybe that's going to be backed up, and for years to come, we will agree with that point. But man, this season was right there. Just play 500 hockey. Be on pace for 82 points. You'd be in a playoff spot right now. All you have to do is have 50% of your points and you'd be wild card two at this moment. Instead, they are in dead last. Lindy Ruff put the standings back up in the room. Let them know, hey, this is what your focus is. This is what your goal is. I mean, they're going to sit there and see that Sabre logo right dead last at the bottom when they get back here for practice on Thursday. And, you know, will it cause some pride to kick in? Connor Clifton said, yeah, we need some pride. Just how embarrassing. Your owner. And by the way, I totally think what Terry Pegula said was naive. Oh, yeah, you guys are going to fix it. We believe in you. And the GM, no, if I was him, I would have went in there and said, you know, like, listen, this is unacceptable. The only thing that this franchise should be doing is winning. Now, he hasn't done a lot to back that up during his tenure, but at least say the right thing. Saying that, hey, being on a 10-game losing streak is unacceptable and that, you know, some of you that maybe are overvaluing your NHL career here, like, this could end here very quickly. Maybe some of them want to get out of here. I mean, who wouldn't want to leave here? If you are an established NHL player and you know that you could have a job elsewhere, who wouldn't want to leave right now? Maybe that's what they are waiting for. They're just begging, please trade me somewhere else. Ryan McLeod, you were playing in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year. He's probably saying, please, send me anywhere else right now. He has to be. Whatever. Terry said what he said. I disagree with what he said. But then how are you as a player when your owner gives you a vote of confidence? How do you come out? And then Connor Clifton's like, yeah, totally outworked. Weren't ready to play. Terrible start. No sense of pride. Like, my goodness, what else is it going to take? And obviously, you know, I'll do what Paul said at the end of the first period here. He said, this is who they are. And he did his mic drop there, and well, that's probably how we should end this segment right here. This is who they are. 6-1 Montreal, the final. For all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodnight to you at this point here on the postgame. If you want to keep listening, go to WGR550.com. If you somehow choose to keep listening, well, I really respect you. It's been a painful stretch to be a Sabre fan here. Years and years and years of games like this, and we find another spot where we sit here and say, is this as bad as it could get? Is this rock bottom? The sad thing is that there's actually a debate for that, because we've had a handful of these over the course of the last decade many, many, many times. Canadians win at 6-1, Sabres and Leafs Friday in front of a lot of Leafs fans at KeyBank Center. 7 o'clock puck drop, C. Foley Law pregame will be at 6. We'll come back here, get you some more stats and highlights from this one here as we roll on to the postgame. I'm Brian Colesiel. I appreciate everybody listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
To go in the second period. Samuelson into the slot. Alex Tuck with a backhand, and Montembeau does not leave a rebound for Tage Thompson to have a chance at. And Montreal holding on to their 5-1 lead in the second period.
There's Sam Montembeau, faced 21 shots in the game. Another low shot total for the Sabres. That one is our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Welcome back to the postgame. Brian Colesiel with you. 6-1 Montreal. If you're still with us, I appreciate it tonight. And I truly mean that. I know that it's very, very easy to get, you know, for all of us that work on the broadcast and that, you know, have been. TJ's producing tonight. I'll let him chime in here in a second. He's been producing for a long time here with me. One phrase that they all know that I use is like that we know listeners have Sabres fatigue. That's the phrase I use. And I know that, you know, I'm not helping things. You're listening to the post game. You might be listening to the game, and you know, I'm sitting here saying, "This is bad. This is bad." Like it doesn't. We know it's not necessarily helpful to put you in good spirits. We watch sports to try to have fun and enjoy ourselves and enjoy our time, and it's supposed to be. You know, we know sports has a little stress involved. That's what kind of makes sports fun too. But this, this drought, we know for the most part has had so many lows compared to the fun and enjoyable moments. There's been, you know, some ones over the last 14 seasons here of drought hockey that I would say are memorable. And some of them are retirement ceremonies, and some of them are, you know, numbers going to the rafters, and some of them are fun games. But for the most part, if you said, you know, what has been 90% of your topics here and discussion over the last, 13 seasons now, it's been, we don't have enough talent, do we have the right GM? Do we have the right coach? Is ownership helping in any way? It's been one of essentially a layer of one of those four things all the time. We don't have enough talent. We don't have the right players. Do we have the right GM? Do we have the right coach? And is ownership doing anything to help, or is it hurting? Like, that's, those branches have been essentially the discussion. I look so forward to interacting with people on social media and taking phone calls and talking to people at the arena and friends and coworkers about, like, games that really, really matter. It feels like it's been so long. We had a little blip of it at the end of March two seasons ago when they got close. But, man, it's just, I can't even remember, like, what it was like on post-game shows where we were just taking phone calls because people were just excited to watch the Sabres and pumped about the direction of the team and just really happy with where they were in the standings and just, you know, kind of had that vibe like, this is fun to be a Sabre fan. And it hasn't. And there's many people that have turned away from being a Sabre fan. Or maybe you used to be a regular listener to the Postgame Show that just don't anymore because they don't want that negativity in their life. And I get it, for sure. It's been bad. And tonight in Montreal against a team that was dead last in the standings, you lose in an embarrassing fashion after your owner shows up and tries to, quote, rally the troops. And then this is the Aguilay. It's bad. It really is. All right, we had our save of the game there. Let's get some final stats in here. We have some TJ, unless you want to jump in and save my never-ending rant here. I apologize.
No, that there's nothing to save there. I think everything you said is just exemplary of what's been going on for the past 13 years. I mean, that's the number for me.
Yeah.
That it's years upon years of hoping the next thing will work, and it hasn't. Time and time again. It stinks.
Yeah, it does. Think even just 11 games ago, TJ, that San Jose game, they sweep California. I mean, people saw the Sabre logo on their app or on their website sitting in third in the Atlantic. I remember that night. I was doing post-game, and I was getting screenshots from coworkers and friends and family. Look at this. Like, how amazing. You know,
It's a month ago.
Yes, it was November 23rd.
It's a month and a week ago. Less than a month ago.
3.5 weeks ago. I was getting screenshots from family and friends and coworkers of, like, look at this. This is the year.
I was just doing it to make sure I had a picture of it, to make sure that, you know, in case something bad happens, here they were in the playoffs. And look at this, Brian.
Yeah.
Look at where we are now.
I'm not screenshotting where they are now.
That bad idea. Don't do the compare thing. Let other people do that.
We've seen the Sabre logo before in the bottom. I mean, I don't need to share it again.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, it's it stinks in the sense that there just 11 games ago, there was such a buzz. And look at, it's not even near the level of the expectations of where we think the football team is in this town. I love it for Bills fans and everybody in Western New York that supports that team and that has a connection to the Bills in any capacity of how good that team is doing. It's phenomenal. I hope they win the Super Bowl for the city and for all the glamour that it would get and all the attention and for all the families that would rejoice, you know, for all the years that they've supported the team and they went through a long drought and all that sort of stuff. It would be amazing. The Sabre Club, from where it's currently at right now, literally, if they were at 500 and they were at wild card 2, how much of a buzz there would be about this team right now. Like, it would be just so exciting. And people would be so pumped and excited to go to games. And it really doesn't take that much. I will say this, for as bad sometimes as the energy and the vibe is down at KeyBank Center, and understandably so, fans can turn quick down there. When the Sabres give them any glimmer of hope. People come running back to that building. People are excited to watch this team again. They really are. It does not take much. But man, talk about ruining a fun thing fast. 11 games ago, people were really, really pumped about where this team was going and where it was at. And now, 11 games later, dead last. And here we are again. The same branch talk that I just started off the segment with. Is the GM the right GM? Well, we probably have that answer. Is the coach even going to stick around for year two? Is he going to retire? Go get lost on some island somewhere. Lindy, you probably should. And is the owner in any way going to help the situation? Those questions probably, as you know, we would all predict. Paul and I said it. Will anything happen before Friday's game against Toronto? My prediction is no. Paul's prediction is no. You know, other media members saying yes. I hope you're right. I would love to come on the air Friday on pregame and say, geez, Paul, look at this. There's the move, and you and I definitely did not see that coming, or we did not expect to see that coming. I would love to talk about that on Friday on postgame and admit that I didn't see it coming. It would be great, because at least it would be the start of maybe something that could help try to fix this current state. Final stats brought to you 6-1 Montreal here.
Lovely stats.
These are some stats here. Well, did I even give stats? I don't know.
I
have to read the stats thing. So
I know.
Let me do that. Final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Yes, those were stats. All right, here's a couple just because, you know, I got to officially do it here on the sheet. 27-21 were the shots in favor of Montreal. Yes, the Sabres, 21 shots. Come on. Lukanen made 15 saves on 21 shots. No help, though. Montembeau, the win, 20 saves. Three stars. Anderson, star three. Slafkovský, star two. Laine with the hat trick, star number one. Dynabrade.com power play update. This is ugly. Powered by Dynabrade Tools, probably made here in Buffalo. Three power play goals for Montreal. 3 of 8. Sabres, yep, 0 for 6. The attendance tonight at Bell Center, 21,105. Terry Pegula was there. Although I don't think his ticket counted in the 21,105. But Rasmus Dahlin, as Paul said, is aiming to be back Friday against Toronto. 7 o'clock puck drop. Steve Foley will pregame at 6. So that could be at least a little spark for Buffalo. The injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph Campus. Go with Joe's. Let's finish with the scoreboard. And it's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. All right, games going on elsewhere. Overtime win for Pittsburgh. Yes, that's how the Penguins moved into a playoff spot tonight. They have 33 points in 33 games. That's all it takes, 500 hockey folks, to be in a playoff spot right now in the East. They beat the Kings 3-2. Carolina shutting out the Islanders 4-0. Tampa Bay 5, Columbus 3. Nashville shuts out the Rangers. Wow, they are struggling. The Rangers now are 2 out of a playoff spot. They don't score again, losing Nashville 2-0. New Jersey's on its way to winning again. They'll leapfrog Washington. Well, maybe not. Washington's winning as well here. Caps have 44 points. Devils have 43. Those are the top two teams in the East. Jersey's on its way to winning. They're up 4-1 with a minute 40 to go in St. Louis. Washington is up 2-1 in Chicago, 10 minutes to go in the third period. End of two in Calgary. The Flames lead the Bruins 3-1 after 2. End of the first in Seattle. No score between Ottawa and the Seattle Kraken. And just underway in San Jose, the Sharks and the Jets are scoreless. There's your look around the league. Sabres are off tomorrow officially. Practice Thursday, and then Friday it's the Leafs. And yes, there will be a ton of Leafs fans in attendance at KeyBank Center. 7 o'clock, we'll have the puck drop and the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6. Hey, if you listen from start to finish tonight, I genuinely say I appreciate it. I know that this team, if you're listening, it's because you love this team. And, you know, I love doing this job. There are nights where I sit here and say, like, man, it would be so great to be talking about a different outcome or a different team. Or could I actually be talking about games that matter? So let's hope for those days to come here for everybody. But if you've been listening throughout, or if you're a regular listener to the postgame, and you're still listening here at 10:46 at night, we all appreciate it, because you know, if no one listens, then they'd probably get somebody else to do this. Which, as some people on Twitter said, one constant throughout this whole thing, Koziel, has been you as well. So, yeah, there you go. Thanks for that. All right, that'll put a wrap here on our postgame tonight. Want to thank our crew. TJ Luckman, you just heard from him, our network producer. Thank you, TJ. Kyle Powell on our social media. You can check out his game story, WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton, our reporter in Montreal. Tom Maddy was our engineer. Chopin the Bulldog on the pregame. And for Dan Dunleavy and Marty Baron, I'm Brian Koziel. Again, the final from Montreal. Canadiens 6, Sabres 1. We'll talk to you Friday from KeyBank Center with the Leafs in town right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.